Hey guys, welcome back to episode 4, week 4 of Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. And we just finished week 3 of our 2025 softball season starting, and there's been a lot of craziness. And Britt, I don't know if I've ever seen better softball played this early in the season by anybody across the country.
Yeah, there's some phenomenal games, a ton of upsets, which just lets you know that the talent's just spread out across the country right now. And I don't think there's just one team that everybody's like, yeah, they're going to win it all like we've had for the past 4 years with Oklahoma. It's like, okay, who's going to make it to the World Series and make it a close game? But I think it's anybody's game this year.
It's been so fun to watch. And just like I said, the talent is so widespread. And I've never seen better actually like softball fundamentally played this early on. And so I feel like we're really getting into like May mayhem or May postseason like kind of mindset and stuff with skill only in February. So it's really good stuff. But this week in the D1 softball poll, you got 4 ACC teams breaking the top 20 or 2025 season and top 25 in the poll. You've got both Duke and Florida State coming in the top 10, Duke in that 8 spot, Florida State in that 10 spot, Stanford getting a nod at number 17, and Virginia Tech at 18 in the USA Softball ESPN poll. You've got Virginia coming in at 25, which I feel like is well-deserved.
Yeah, I think they beat UCLA down in Clearwater. They've been shown that they can compete with anybody, lost a couple walk-offs, one-run games, and beating the teams that they on paper should be, and they have the toughest schedule in the country. They're currently the number one hardest schedule that they're playing in the country. So yeah, good to see them in the poll.
Yeah, the Cavaliers are just crushing it. And then Cal receiving votes in multiple polls as well, which they've had some really good games too. And I think just all across the board, I'm super pumped to see where the ACC continues through the next couple of weeks. So let's start with Duke, Britt. They were at Mary Nutter this past weekend, and I mean, they looked brilliant, I feel like, on the field.
Yeah, they went undefeated. They beat Nebraska, Howard, BYU, Minnesota. Huge win over UCLA. And they only gave up one run in those 5 games. And that one run was to Howard, which, you know, you wouldn't expect that. But phenomenal showing by the Blue Devils. And I think the biggest spotlight, once again, is on Cassidy Curd and how she threw and what she did against some of the top pitchers in the country, going head-to-head with Jordy Ball from Nebraska and Taylor Tinsley from UCLA, complete games each of those, and then coming in and getting a couple saves too, which I think we're going to see some of that when Danny Drugmuller, Sophie Gardner McKinnon, and Haley Schuler get a start. Then Duke gets a lead, and then you're going to see Cassidy Curd come in, because we were talking about how the depth of Duke in the circle could be a concern, but I think we're going to see Cassidy Curd be a reliever too when she's not starting. So just see, you know, that stamina, if she's going to be able to continue that for the rest of the season. But hats off to Duke. They are playing some great ball up and down the lineup and led by Cass in the circle.
Yeah, it's such good stuff. And Duke has obviously looked so good for the last few years. And just, I feel like, really coming into their own and having that mentality of like, they deserve to be on so many of these stages and getting the praise finally after several years of success. So Cass Curd in the circle looks phenomenal. I do think for the Blue Devils, the question is going to be whether or not they can sustain it. And like you said, having a full staff that can come in and get some innings behind her, in front of her, whatever that looks like. But there's no doubt about it that she's the ace for Duke. They've also been known for some really good defensive plays recently, Britt. How about that catch out in foul territory down the left field line by Amaya Burgess?
It was beautiful. If you didn't get a chance to see it, you go look on Duke's social media. It was to get the final out of the game against UCLA to secure the win. And she goes feet over head, catching the ball down the left field line. Just a great grab. And to me, it just kind of shows that heart Duke has. You know, they want to win. They have something to prove. And they're playing like that all across the field. I think that play just kind of capped off their weekend out in California.
Yeah, and they can go to the Duke website and check it out, our socials, but I feel like they could also go to ESPN Sports Center, get our girl Kelsey Riggs to replay that one again. So, Virginia Tech, the Hokies, so they traveled out to Alabama this past weekend too. I feel like kind of iffy, obviously, so showed some signs of brilliance too, some big wins, and then, of course, a couple losses too, and just figuring out what that looked like. Or actually, they went 4-1 on the weekend. They split with Alabama. But I think the losses throughout the season are typically what we kind of are just like teetering of who is this Virginia Tech team going to be. And I do feel like right now they're showing us really good stuff, because I know that we've always talked so highly of the potential of Virginia Tech, but then it's like, then they don't win the games that are those big games, right? And now they're starting to do that. And Emma Lemley looks so good. She has for, you know, obviously this whole season, and then last year as well too, and just had a good season a couple years ago, kind of went through like just some stuff with her pitching and everything else. But I feel like she's really leading the way and bringing the team with her.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this senior campaign for her is going to be the best year she's had. And I say it every week. It makes me so happy to see, just because we've been a witness to the struggles that she's been through, and to come out on top of your senior year and really shine like she has been is really fun to see. I think the first game that they won against Alabama showed me that they're more of a complete team in the past. Yeah. I mean, we talk about their home run capability and their ability to hit the long ball, and they were kind of live and die by that, the long ball team. And now that, you know, they have different ways of scoring runs. They don't just wait for that home run, but they have the ability to still hit it, but they're just more complete in that sense in their offensive lineup. I was really curious going into the second game after Lemley threw the complete game and got the win against Alabama, if she would start game two. What would you, it's kind of hard to ask now that you know the results, but are you the type of person that if it's working, don't fix it, or give them a new look second time around?
Yeah, it's so hard. I am like of the opinion of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So why change it if it's going well? But I also do understand, like, you've got to get these other girls experience and on this big stage too. And there's nothing like playing in Rhodes Stadium. I mean, that place is crazy. And so just feeling that pressure, I think that's more of like a long-term decision. And that, like, you're playing not just for this win or this game today, you're playing for weeks and months down the road when we might very well be back on this stage or one very similar. So it really could go either way. And that's why they get paid the big bucks. I always say that, like, you know, about the umpires and the coaches making those decisions. But I do think what's crazy too is in game one, Lemley only threw 84 pitches and she threw a full seven innings. Obviously the game was only 2-1, and like her pitch efficiency was the shit. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it was so good. And for 65 of those pitches to come in as strikes, like, come on, man. Like, as an opposing hitter, like, you know that she's pounding the zone. So
that's a confident pitcher, right?
Yeah.
That is, all right, I'm better than you. I'm going to throw the ball in the strike zone, but I know I'm going to beat you. Like, I don't have
to. Seriously.
Like, I'm going right at it. And I love that. That just shows confidence. But they did go with Lemley in game two, which I think I would have too. I was having a conversation with somebody watching a game talking about this series, and they were dead set that Emma Mazzarone was going to throw. I'm like, no, but you have a good point. You know, we need to get Emma in some of those situations for down the road. But to me, when I watched that game, you know, the score doesn't look good, but to me, I don't think Virginia Tech played bad. I don't think Emma Lemley pitched bad. It's just one of those annoying games. Like, the strike zone was super tight in the first thing. There was a hit by pitch, a stolen base, a wild pitch, a little bloop with the infield pulled in. It was just like, it didn't feel like they got beat, you know? It was just like one of those Sunday annoying games that nothing's going your way. So I'm not concerned with that loss at all. I'm more impressed with the win, but you definitely want to come out with two wins, but I don't think it's indicative of Virginia Tech's in any trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I do think though, like we've said, like, this is a team that's been very good and full of potential for the last couple of seasons, and we haven't seen them get one of these wins on the road or in general, whether they're home or away. And just knowing that now, like, hey, they're on that same stage and they're getting the victory, I think is so cool, because this is a team that, I mean, they can go far and they can really like rough somebody up down the road too, whether it's at a regional, super regional, or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I'm all about though getting people experience. And I say that, like, and as a player, I was always like, I want to play. I want the at bat. I want to be, you know, whatever. And now as a full team concept too, like, the game is changing. The depth is getting better and better. And you do see your everyday players not playing every day just because they do get rest days and stuff. So yeah, it really could go either way. But experience is a good teacher, and you never learn better than when you fail. So that could be some really good information for Virginia Tech to walk away with. Well, Stanford. Stanford was in Arizona this past weekend. They're playing at Arizona's tournament, and they did lose their couple of games to Arizona. So this is a team that walked away with some good wins, but also a couple of losses. They won against UC Davis, Colorado State, and Texas. Let's talk about that Texas game, because that was crazy.
It was a fun game. Stanford came out swinging early and got some runs on the board early, and then Texas got some of their own, but Stanford just felt like they just kept answering and they kept swinging the bat. They looked loose. They were aggressive early in the count. Like, they weren't going up to play Texas like, oh, this is the number one team in the country. They were not tight. They were just out there swinging the bats, and we've been talking about their offense all season so far. They were leading the country and batting average going into this weekend. I think they're number two in the country, still team batting average of 411 and third in home runs with 30. But I think it was just showed their maturity as a team. Like, you're going against the number one team, so what? You know, they just went out there and played ball, and it was a lot of fun to see their offense going against one of the best pitchers in the country.
Yeah, like Tegan Kavan, I feel like her numbers, like you said too, about some people or Virginia Tech and like Lindley's outing and stuff, like not really indicative of how well she pitched. And I think Tegan Kavan for Texas is kind of in that same boat. Like, her ERA is like right now, but she's got the most innings. And so she's the ace for Texas, and they were the number one team in the country. And so for Stanford to get that win, like, it's just such a compliment to their offense. You had some really big swings. Allie Clements, a couple of home runs, and Joey as well for Stanford. Her last name is very difficult to say, so I'm just not even going to butcher it right now. I'll have to go back and listen to the phonetic. But so good, like, it just the big swings, like, to put that many runs on the board, like, it's crazy. And I think that so many people are wondering, we're wondering, who is Stanford going to be without Nyjah Kennedy? And I think that we're getting our answer. And that team is responding so well.
Yeah, that was the question. Stanford's not known for their offense. And I think the maturity of in that lineup, having a bunch of juniors and seniors going in this season, like, we're going to have to be an offensive team. We're going to have to score a lot of runs. We don't have the number one pitcher in the country leading the way anymore. And they've really answered the bell with that. And I look at the pitching side, too, and I was impressed with Alyssa Houston in the circle. I believe she's a sophomore. She throws hard, a lot of up stuff, heavy on the screw. Tinkering with the changeup, I think, would be a huge add for her. But she's going to get some solid innings. And then the freshman, Zoe Prestico, she threw a no-hitter against UC Davis. And I think they complement each other. We're going to see another staff here with Prestico in Houston, where Prestico is spinny, low in the zone. Just a good compliment, 1-2 right there with the pitching staff. So Stanford, keep swinging it. Your pitcher's going to keep you in games, and huge win in Tucson.
Yeah, keep doing their thing. And this is a very mature, experienced team as well. And when people were looking at Nyjah leaving and everything else, and we're not going to sit here and harp on that, like, whatever, right? But it is worth noting, because obviously she was the player of the year, like, so freaking good. Experience helping Stanford out is just elite, I think, and ultimately is what's setting them apart, because that's the stuff that you can't teach until you've been there, done that. So
yeah, they know how to win. They're coming off two World Series appearances, so definitely that experience is a big advantage for Stanford.
Yeah.
But you were down in Tallahassee, right?
Yes.
I was so excited for this matchup, and I think you did a great job on the game. So nice work.
Thanks.
So front row seat, you got to see it all. Tell us what you saw, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. What you got?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with the bad. Obviously, they lost. Florida State lost. And so that's where I was like, oh, yeah, I was in Tallahassee because I wanted this game so bad. Like, I wanted this series. I was so grateful to call it. I just love beating up on the SEC a little bit. And that's just, I think, the ACC heart that I have. Like, I want them to lose at all times. I think Florida State, so just real quick, like, both teams did such a great job in the early part of the game with their play discipline. I have never seen two teams, because I think so much the storyline for the games that I've called this season, and Britt, I'm sure you feel the same, is you've got such great hitters now in the sport that they're hitting balls consistently. Pitchers do not have to miss over the plate for a hitter to barrel something up and leap the yard, basically. And so, but that's not what I saw this weekend, at least not on Saturday. And knowing that they were, both sides were challenging the opposing pitcher to have to come over the plate, or at least like closer to it, was so crazy to me, because we've seen all these teams across the board have so much success on balls in the river and even on the chalk. So that was very different. The plate discipline was elite. I do think Texas A&M had better plate discipline longer. I think Florida State started as the game went on, or the games went on, because it was a doubleheader. They scored early, and then I think they started to like get outside of themselves a little bit and try to like score a couple more and started to try to force things. Mm-hmm. Whereas like A&M did a better job of just like chipping away and like kind of taking advantage of those missed pitches. And that's just what I noticed. And I think the competitor in me was like, man, like I wanted these games so bad. I wanted the wins and everything else. But then like the realist was like, wow, like that was some good softball. And I mean, of course, Florida State did what Florida State does. We saw like four pitchers in the games, you know, in each game you had the two last pitchers come in both games and try to get innings and stuff. Like Jazzy Francik made appearances in both games, and so did Mimi Gooden. So like typical Lonnie. And it was just crazy. It was crazy in Tallahassee. So
yeah. I want your opinion on the Florida State pitching staff with a team that's gonna have great plate discipline and not give this pitching staff anything. Is that the way to go at them? Do they have a clear number one? Like how is there a dominant person in the circle? How's this going to work?
It's so funny you asked me that, because Jamie Loprice was at the game and she like texted me during the game and she was like, hey, because she went to Texas A&M, obviously. She's like, if you had to like choose Florida State's ace, who would it be? I was like, come on, like knowing Lonnie, like there's not going to be an ace named, in my opinion, just because you've got three legit arms in regard to experience with Annabelle Wiedra, with Julia Opsahl, and with McKenna Reed. And then you've got younger arms with Gooden and Francik. And so I was like, but if you had to ask me if my life was on the line, like I'm saying Annabelle Wiedra is my ace right now. Not saying she's the best. I'm just saying I think she's going to get the most innings, and I think she's going to neutralize offenses, which is what Lonnie likes to say. So if I had to pick, I think it's Wiedra, and I think that you're going to see three arms minimum most games for Florida State.
And their offense was just as good, like you said. They came out hot, but it's interesting just kind of finishing games, like keeping that mindset, that discipline through seven innings, especially against a really good team, is going to be important. And they're going to take a lot from this series and learn from it. I think you learn more from a loss than you do a win, because you're willing to really look at yourself and what went good and what went wrong. But yeah, I guess my question mark is going to be how are things going to go in the circle? How is this going to work? I'm curious, like McKenna Reed coming from the injury. I mean, she had an outstanding freshman year, like dominant. And Ashton Danley last year, she was put in a position where she had to throw a lot of innings as a freshman, not a lot of experience, had some ups and downs. But I was looking for more innings from them, having a more, more of a presence on that staff. Maybe that'll come ACC play. We'll have to wait and see. But I guess that's my biggest surprise after watching for a few weeks now.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how she responds. And I think she's still taking it a little lighter. I don't know that for certain. So like, I'm not on record saying that. I just think that that's just how Lonnie coaches. I think she's looking ahead towards like more towards the end of season when it really does matter most to ensure that Kenna's healthy then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you've got six viable arms. Yeah, throw in Ashton Danley. And I think the beauty too is you've got Danley and Wiedra, who are both position players. So like they can start a game and at any point come in. And so it's just a really interesting combination. And I don't think there's been that much depth at Florida State in a really long time in regard to number of arms and quality of the arms. Yeah. So
quality over quantity for sure.
Right. Both. That's true. That's true. So let's talk about your Tar Heels.
Yeah. Did you see what happened with them midweek against South Carolina?
Yeah.
That was tough to watch.
Yeah.
That was tough. Six back-to-back walks with the bases loaded, 12 walks in the whole game. It was like, whoa, sometimes it's just not there, I guess. You just can't throw a strike. The zone was tight, but to me, woo, as an alumni and a Tar Heel fan, that was difficult to watch. But they responded this weekend through another new no-hitter. This time it was Nikki Harris against Wagner. Saw an interesting fact that their pitching at home has been pretty good. They've thrown a perfect game, a no-hitter, and five complete game shutouts. Kinnaird Dark is tied for first in the nation with 5 shutouts, but pitching on the road has been a little bit of a concern, like we saw down in at South Carolina. But their pitching, their hitting is there. They're taking care of the business when they're supposed to. Solid weekend, good response for our UNC, and they're 12-3 on the season. So I think they got to be pretty happy with that.
Feeling good. Yeah, I think the big key there is the winning the games are supposed to. And that's, I think, the mark of a team that's figuring it out, because we're always going to have those, like, you know, those really good opponents, those really tough games. But the games that we need to take care of business, and they're doing that. So, yeah, I think they got to be excited. But I also did notice that they were doing well at the situational hitting. Like, they were getting people on, whether it was like a leadoff double, leadoff triple. I think even towards the end of the game, it was versus Queens that I watched on like Monday night, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And just like good situational at bats. It might have been a leadoff double, and then they got her over, got her in with like, and they got a couple of outs, of course, throughout the process. It wasn't like base hit after base hit, but just manufacturing runs. I think they were looking really good. So
good, good.
Yeah. Brighter things ahead, right? For us all. So let's talk about Clemson, the Tigers. They were 5-0 last week, and it was not an easy week of wins, but hey, it's a win in the book. Just like, you know, when you hit a blooper or a bleeder and they're like, oh, it's a line drive in the book, so we'll take it.
Clemson getting the wins, but I think they've got to be mentally tough this year, because they're not going to get any easy wins. Right now, everything is going to be a fight. The winning at Charlotte 14-8 back and forth, and then they had to come back and beat Elon 4-3, went into extra innings against Villanova. So these are the teams on paper where with Clemson, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, they're going to go deep in their bench, get some players, some at-bats, get some arms in the circle that don't usually get to see much action. But no, these are competitive games, and Clemson finding a way to win, even though they're like, we should, I don't want to say easily win this, but in the past, you know, we've handled business against these teams. So still a different look for Clemson, trying to figure out who they are. But I tell you what, Julia Noller knows who she is. She is crushing it at the plate, being a big time leader. We were talking about who is going to be the leader for this team. Yeah. Who are they going to look to now that, that big class graduated? And I think Noller's really making a case for herself, at least with her performance on the field, leading the nation with 9 doubles right now. So they're finding a way to win, and it's not easy, but sometimes it's all about the results, right? It's all about the dub.
Yeah. Getting that good, like, fight mentality early in the season, I think, is going to help them come postseason, because, you know, it's just a flat-out dogfight at that point. So, good stuff and good things ahead for the Tigers. All right, let's talk about those Bears. Cal, they were at Marietta as well, but went 4-2 on the weekend. They lost 1-run game to a very good Oregon team. So, Oregon's been a team that's obviously been rebuilding throughout the years ever since Melissa Lombardi came in and has been taking over the program, and the Ducks have been looking really good. So, for Cal to come and compete against them very well, I think, is saying a lot about where the Bears are, knowing kind of just where the program is on both sides, right? Like, when you're playing quality and then you're playing them really well, I think it's a nod to how you guys are figuring it out.
Yeah, I think Cal is going to really make some noise in the ACC this year. They lost a lot of pitching last year with Randy Rowling transferring to Georgia, I believe, and Haley Archer graduating. Nobody had thrown more than 37 innings last year, but I like what I'm seeing from Miranda DeNava in the circle. She's really carrying this team, and I think they found their answer there. Their offense is solid. They're not going to blow you away, but they're going to be scrappy. They're going to take bases. They're going to be aggressive. And I'm thinking about the top of the ACC, like that top five. To me, is a crapshoot. I think Duke, Florida State, 1-2, but who's 3-4-5? Stanford, Cal. I mean, it's just
Virginia Tech. Like, it could be anybody.
It's gonna be fun to see how that pans out. But I think Cal is really gonna find themselves towards the top of the ACC. They're just getting it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that they're potentially going to be our sleeper team, because I do think, like you said, Virginia Tech are all like getting, you know, mixed in the conversation. Stanford like talked about a lot. And where's Cal? So I feel like they might come in and just ruin some people's days. But yeah, good stuff. I guess we'll see. So Boston College, where is Abby Dunning? Like, what is going on?
I was checking on Boston College and my girl Abby Dunning, and I look and she only has 7 innings pitched on the air. I'm like, what? What's happening? Yep. Please don't tell me something's wrong. So I went back and looked at the last time she pitched was that first game against Florida down in Gainesville, and the first inning, I think it was the first batter she faced, you saw her after one of the pitches go down and grab her left leg around her knee area. And then after that, she was very ginger on that land foot, not able to throw a strike and kind of limping around, and they pulled her and we haven't seen her since. So I just wanted to shout out to Abby Dunning that I hope you are doing well, getting better quickly, because the world needs to see Abby Dunning throw.
Yeah, legit arm in the circle there, and one that we feel like really gave Boston College just that fighting chance in so many games. Take care of yourself, sister. Get better soon.
Please.
Please, please, for us. So let's talk about the Orange. They went down to Georgia. They lost two games down there. They lost game two against Georgia. They lost 3-1. They committed a couple of errors. We know defense is just the name of the game, but their pitching looks pretty good.
Yeah, I was interested to see how they would go against Georgia, who's always a great offensive team and currently ranked top 10 in the country. And Madison Knight only gave up 2 earned runs in that loss. So I think she handled the challenge really well against a hot team. So I think Syracuse too. I mean, not historically a big powerhouse competitor, top half of the ACC, but I could see them finishing in the top half of the ACC with those arms in the circle. Mm-hmm. They're the team ERA of 1.14. So they're doing something good up in Syracuse. So keep an eye on the Orange.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Cavaliers. Virginia, 4-0 on the weekend. They got 2 wins versus Penn in Delaware. And you mentioned it earlier, but they've got the toughest schedule in the country right now.
And they are tried, tested, and lost some close games. Won that big walk-off against UCLA. And they're taking care of business when they need to take care of business. They are doing a great job. I think this is the most complete team that I've seen from Virginia. I think they're going to win some series. They're going to definitely be in that top 5 conversation in the ACC. So I think they're just keeping on doing what they're doing and rolling.
Yeah, like to see it. Obviously, Coach Harden's been doing some phenomenal things up there. So Louisville, and they got some wins against Michigan and Wisconsin last week. Is Chelsea Mack having a breakout year?
I think so. Transfer coming in from Kentucky, who didn't get much playing time, is leading the way for Louisville. I mean, you think about all that Louisville has lost over the couple years. Corby Otis really sticks out to me now that she's down in Florida. They needed somebody to be the heartbeat of that team, because that's when they were their best, when Otis was there. And I think Chelsea Mack could be that person for them this year and beating some Power Four teams. So Louisville, keep an eye on them. Not a ton of expectations going into this season, but I think they're doing pretty well with everything they've lost over the couple years with graduations and transfers, kind of a rebuild year, but also making some statements.
Yeah, and I think what Coach April's doing out there is super impressive as well. And just, again, all these teams looking to build. And I don't think people realize, you know, Britt, you were super kind to share some notes and thoughts with me too. And even like that Florida State, Texas A&M game or series, you know, or I guess doubleheader at this point, Jesus. But like it was said from coach at Texas A&M, Trisha Ford, of like, I don't really feel like this is even my team remotely close until like maybe year 3. Mm-hmm. And just like because of that, like I don't think people understand how long it takes to build a program. And not to say that it's not your team on day 1, but it's like to really change and implement mindset and approach, thought process, confidence, like all the off-field stuff that translates and you know, shows itself on the field, I think is so important. And it takes time. Like you're trying to build people up. And I think that's what the whole ACC coaching staffs are doing. And it's hard too, because then every year you've got a different squad. Like it's just, it's an ever-evolving cycle and it takes time. But let's look ahead at what we have for this next week. So we're headed into week 4, just wrapped up week 3. This is about the last week-ish of tournament play. And when we say that, the first like 3 to 5 weeks of season every year, you know, is just really tournament heavy. And then you start getting into conference play, obviously. And so you've got some teams starting ACC play, some teams still doing tournament play for the next week or two. And so, Britt, give us a little bit about what we have to look forward to this weekend.
First ACC series, first time Stanford is playing in the ACC. They're going down to Atlanta to take on Georgia Tech. That'll be a fun series just because the ACC is kicking off, and take a look at what's going on there with the three-game series. Louisville's got two games at home against Northwestern. Clemson has a game tonight, Wednesday, against Georgia. I think that'll be a good game. Clemson's going to have to fight like they have been all year, but they have the talent to really make some noise, so I will be watching that for sure. Liberty, Virginia Tech has Liberty midweek and Penn State this weekend. Besides the ACC series, I think the Duke weekend is going to have me watching too. They have a three-game series against South Carolina, which I think is brilliant to do before ACC play starts, just have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday three-game series against the same team. See how your team responds over 3 days. And for me, I'm going to be watching how she handles the pitching against a good South Carolina team for 3 days. Is it going to be Cassidy Curd Friday, Sunday, come in relief Saturday? How's this going to happen? I think we'll be able to see our answer this weekend. So super excited for that series.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some good insight soon from how Coach Young is really just navigating what it looks like in the circle. So good things to come all across the board. Really looking for some solid ACC games this weekend, whether it's in conference, at a conference play, really good stuff as we head into week four. So as always, send us your guys' questions, comments, critiques, whatever you got, hit us. And you can find our podcast, of course, on anywhere that you listen. So thank you guys for watching. This is it for episode 4 of Up the Coast with Alex and Britt.
Don't forget to subscribe.
I subscribe.
See ya.
Bye.